Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the 3 Under Par podcast. This is a golf podcast where
Little White Ball is life.
I'm your host, Scotty T, and I'm joined by my co-host, KJ, over there. T-Bone is down below today. What's going on, boys? You doing all right?
Yep.
Chilling.
T-Bone, it's kind of sad to see not your Wingfoot background as you rocked the last couple weeks. So going with the Golden State Bridge today, huh?
Yeah, a little corporate today. I think we're not fully back into golf season. The swing is going to pick up again. So I think a Augusta National background is looming. Let's just say that.
I respect that. Because Augusta National, right around the corner. What are we, like 6 weeks away? Something like that?
Yeah, second week in November, isn't it?
It might be third week.
It's the second week.
Second week.
Yeah.
Houston Open is the first week. And the Masters is right after the Houston Open. Back where it should be behind our tournament. So I want to start off saying shout out to Lance. Congrats on the engagement. T-Bone was down in Austin. He wouldn't say why, but come to find out, I would assume that is why you were down in Austin. Okay.
Yep.
Nice. Low listener, Lance. Congrats, man. Sick. So how was everybody's weekend?
Good. Lots of golf.
Preach.
Yeah, not too much golf for me. I think you guys have a little bit to talk about in terms of – did you actually beat Kyle and amount of holes played this weekend?
No way.
Yes, I did.
No way.
I think I did.
36 yesterday. Played – Saturday I played at least 18. Friday, 27, and 18 on Thursday.
You know, I did ask Kyle to caddy for me because I played in the Houston Am this week, and every time he just straight up avoided the question. He was like, oh, no, I'm going to the ranch. Okay, cool. And then he was like, oh, I'm too busy with work. Oh, I'm too busy with this. You play freaking 27 on Friday? Shut up, man. Get out of here. This makes no sense.
No, I actually played 18. Clown. I think 18 Friday. I played 18 Friday and went straight to the ranch.
Back to okay.
And then Saturday I got back at about – 11:30. Actually, it was one of those just total Scott Terrell, I'm not even going to hit, bring me some wheels in the parking lot type showing up on time.
It works.
Yeah.
It works. Here's the thing. And for his listenership out there, you got to know, KJ always says, oh, I never play anymore. I never practice. This MF-er plays golf probably 4 or 5 times a week still, which is outrageous. And then complains about he never plays.
No, never practice. I play all the time. I'm getting a good use out of that Hearthstone membership. It's pretty much just show up and play till I can't walk anymore.
It's good stuff. Little White Ball's life.
Yeah, Little White Ball is life.
Ball's life, man. Well, even though KJ does play all this golf, I managed to qualify for the Houston Open, and KJ did not. So suck it.
Yeah.
So that was my weekend, Houston Am. Probably talk a little bit about that. And then Hudson Swafford won on the PGA Tour. That might be the only time that we mention it this week or today because I didn't even realize the PGA Tour event was going on this weekend, to be honest. College football was back. There's just a lot going on in the sports world right now. But this is a golf podcast. We're going to stick to golf. Congrats, Hudson Swafford. There was those videos going around, though. I didn't realize that Hudson Swafford was the guy when he was hitting his practice swing. The divot came and hit his ball.
Yep.
So today, we're recording on Monday. They were like, oh, Monday hitting you like. And then Hudson Swafford. So shout out to him. Still probably best known for that. But now he's a winner on the PGA Tour. Pretty good stuff. I have nothing really else more to add unless – y'all did.
It looked beautiful out there, but it's just like, I mean, that's almost not a tournament to me, I don't think.
Where was it?
Dominican Republic, I believe.
No. Puticana, Corrales Golf Club. Yep. Good stuff. Yeah, crushing it, right? Will's Outdoors finished 8th. A few other names that you recognize, but look, this last week also. On, was it Tuesday? Right after the episode released last week, you had Payne's Valley the showcase of Payne's Valley, first ever public course that Tiger Woods has designed. That was probably the highlight of the week in golf wise, at least, because it was live golf on a Tuesday. My wife walked in and was like, why is there golf on a Tuesday? And we had like just gotten our internet fixed because that's when the tropical storm was hitting. So it was definitely work from home type day. Pretty good stuff. You got Tiger, JT, Rosie, and McIlroy. Pretty electric out there. Of course, looked phenomenal. That Island Green. What'd y'all think of that Island Green? Did y'all check that out?
That's sick. That is absolutely sick. I even watched that little snippet about how they were building it and everything. That's awesome.
I think 19th hole par threes are – we should start adding those more often. I think it's a good opportunity to close off some bets and stuff like that. And when the hole finishes like that, it's just – it's awesome.
We need to normalize that for sure.
Yeah. If you didn't get a chance to watch that tournament, go check out the course. And of all places, it's in Missouri, right? Which you wouldn't expect.
Yeah.
But it is a badass looking course.
Yeah, I was flipping through the channels or through the guide, and I saw, you know, it just said like Payne, something like that. And I figured it was the documentary, and I'd already seen it. And then I look on Instagram, and people are showing this. I was like, are you kidding me? I could have been watching this for the last hour. But it was awesome hearing him mic'd up, and Rory figuring out what dominoes is was pretty tight.
Oh, yeah.
What was he saying? Dominoes is pretty popular.
Like, if you don't know your local pizza joint, Domino's is always like a pretty good go-to. Like, I've never heard of Domino's.
Talk about some free marketing that Domino's just like fell into their lap for. Like,
I know.
Most high-profile athletes in the world, Rory McIlroy, sent talking about how much he loves Domino's because it was a hot mic. That's the only reason why.
I'd be sending them free Domino's for sure.
Yeah, I would say cut the check, Domino's, but like Lord knows how much money they made off those comments. So what's y'all's favorite go-to chain pizza restaurant? Not your local one, chain pizza. Who you got?
Papa John's is always good. I like Papa John's.
Nice.
This isn't as known of a chain, but I Fratelli. I don't know if you guys have had it.
Go with like some knockoff brand.
It's so damn good. Says eat it, then come talk to me. Yeah.
I love Freddy's, dude. Freddy's like good company. I hate their burgers.
Yeah, that sounded like that was a personal issue for you.
It 100% is. And like I said, like with my actual job, we do a lot of business with Freddy's. Like I love the company. I can't eat their burgers. Makes me
put some custard.
Custard's solid. Custard's really solid out there. Yep. I think I would have to go Papa John's as well, KJ, for like a good cheese pizza. But if I'm getting something else, I'll probably go Pizza Hut. But anyway, really off the rails here. We're off to a great start here. But I'm with you. We got to make 19th hole par three. Well, first off, how does that Island Green compare to the TPC Sawgrass? I know it's different, like feels and whatnot, but does it even compare?
I don't think so, just because the setting and the history that surrounds 17 TPC Sawgrass. But as far as, you know, it's pretty aesthetically pleasing. Like you either hit it or you're screwed. There is no in between, but it does look that, way easier than 17 at Sawgrass.
That green looks like it's about to sink. That's why I thought it looks like one, you know, slight current and that entire green is underwater.
That's true. It looks like a sinkhole.
Yeah.
It's surrounding
it. It was cool. It was a super cool hole.
Hey, to your point, Scaff, there's a lot of good golf in Missouri, actually. I know it's.
I wouldn't have known that.
Sounds weird to say, but I spent a summer in college as a golf counselor up at Kennecuck, shout out, in Branson. And there's some phenomenal golf out there. So there's I think they've renamed a couple of these courses since then, but Branson Creek is what it was called. That was the number one rated public course in Missouri. And Top of the Rock was being built when I was there, so I didn't get to play it. But then they also have another Payne Stewart golf course up there. And that's probably like one of my favorite courses I've ever played. Again, I think they changed the name of it. But bottom line, there's some really good golf up there. And if you don't know about it, it's a hidden gem. It really is. So,
good stuff.
Yeah. All right. Let's see. Houston Am, you want me to talk about that now?
Yeah.
Go for it.
Let's hear it.
So, KJ, the reason why I think I played at least – just as maybe the same amount of golf as you did. Played a practice round Thursday. Tournament was Friday and Saturday. And then there was a cut. And then I played 36 on Sunday.
I had no idea it was 36 Sunday.
Yeah. And I walked in my practice round Thursday, walked Friday, walked Saturday, and then grabbed the card for the 36 on Sunday. So, man, I got to tell you, it was a lot of fun. It really was. We're at Gus Wortham. The tournament used to be played at Memorial Park, and it's just not there anymore, unfortunately. Probably because they moved the Houston Open to Memorial. And in my opinion, there's probably some quote-unquote golf politics involved, because the Houston Open is run by the Astros Foundation now, not the HGA. So I think there's some hurt feelings about that. So the HGA, they're at Gus Wortham, newly renovated. Not a bad course. I mean, KJ, you were talking, you played it last week. Greens were fast out there. Greens were really fast. As we mentioned last week, we had a freaking tropical storm hit Houston. So we played the first day lift clean in place. There's not much trees or whatnot out there, so it can get really windy at times. And the course was playing tough. 140-player field. It's a big field. And I made the cut on the number, long story short, made the cut on the number. And so I went and shot 72, 74 the first 2 days. Made it – so 146 was the cut line. Like, that just seemed crazy low for a cut.
I agree.
Granted, they cut about 75% of the field. It went from 140 to top 40 in ties. So that's a lot. That's a pretty hefty cut. And then, 36, it was just a marathon, man. Like, you wake up, you go play 18. Luckily, we're in twosomes. So twosomes and carts have played pretty fast. And then it was just go. And then you got lunch, about a 30-minute break, and then you teed off again and kept playing. And then I shot 74, 69 to finish T20 for the event overall.
Did they change the pins between the two rounds on the last day?
They did, yes. They did. And I got to tell you, Sunday was playing tough. Sunday was playing really tough. It's been a while since I've played just a tournament in general. And the last one I played in, I missed the cut. Merido, but 72 holes is a lot, man. It's a lot of golf.
Yeah.
And especially in the afternoons, the wind really picked up both days that I played in the afternoons. And again, there's not much trees out there. So, and like T-Bone, like you said, man, I think a couple weeks ago, 2, 3, and 4, there's like a road that is going just right down the right side. Like, you can easily crash a windshield into some traffic.
Oh, and yeah.
It's also not necessarily in the best part of town too. So like, there's some questionable characters that you'll see on those roads. And I was telling KJ too, it's generally like a 490-yard par 5, but they were playing it as a par 4, and each time it was playing dead into the wind. So you're just like,
yikes.
Did they move the tee box up on the left side?
No.
They had you over there on the right side still.
Yep. They sure did. They played every single hole all the way back. And I actually saw a couple big things on Twitter, like people chirping at the Houston Open, because on the scorecard, it's only 6,400 yards at Gus Wortham. Granted, it's a par 70, but I'll tell you what, that is a long, long 6,400. You have 490-yard par 4, another par 5 that's okay, but then like a 470-yard par 4, 460 par 4, like, and they're all like tight fairways with trouble everywhere. Like, you can really get into some big trouble up there very quickly at Gus. The numbers can really creep up on you if you're not careful. So,
Did you hit any cars or any fellow competitors? Because I know those holes are right next to each other.
No, I almost got hit in the head though.
Yeah, so. I knew it. With that, cram that many people on that golf course, somebody's bound to get hit.
Oh yeah, and a few of the holes like converge all at certain places. So we're actually we're on 17, and it's a reachable par 5, and 18T is right behind the green, and there's all of a sudden we hear this ball hit the car path behind me, and it literally missed my head by about a foot and then went into the tall grass down below. But it was interesting out there. I was pretty proud of the way I've kept battling, at least for that under par round on 69 sup on the last day.
I was gonna say, I'm a little bummed to hear that it's par 70. I was hoping that you finished the tournament with a 3-under round 69, but close enough.
Yeah. And no, I tried.
Yeah. we'll allow it. That's a pretty solid finish, to say the least. I can't imagine teeing it up in a tournament right now. So,
T-Bone, what'd you shoot last time you were at Gus Wortham?
We're just having fun out there.
That's 87. Just having a good time.
Is that when you were wearing the knickers out there?
No, I had my party boy hat on that KJ loves. It's called a pork pie hat, so it's rolled up to the top. I was just out there for the vibes. I wasn't a serious round, but yeah.
No. And it's definitely weird being out there for a serious round, because that's a course where you go like grab beers with the boys and like go mess around the whole time. It's not really like a really serious type tournament golf course. And then all of a sudden,
that's why I'm surprised to hear that the tournament was there. You can go grab Popeye's chicken after the second hole. Just off the fence.
Literally.
I love that they just let you bring your own booze on anyways, though. So, you know, not having to sneak anything on like we do every time.
Yeah. So like on that 2, 3, 4, even though there's trouble right there, you can miss so far left and you're fine. So on number two, one day I snap hooked my drive and I'm like, yeah, whatever. And I'm literally talking to my caddy and I was like, hey, do I aim at the KFC or the Taco Bell over here? That's like the only portion that I can see. he was like Taco Bell. I think you're good. I was like, all right, awesome, man. Like,
love it.
Yeah. It was one of those two. So coming out the gates, I was actually 2 under through my first two hole or first 12. And I started thinking a little bit. I let the mind get away from me. But like each day, you always want shots back. It's over 72 holes. It's going to happen. Like I would say probably Sunday morning, round three, I was probably two swings away and a bad putt from saving five shots. Like it's just weird stuff like that. And it's like, okay, if I play those holes correctly, then I'm probably finished top 10 and I'm automatically exempt in the next year's tournament. But like, I can't really think that way. Cause overall though, I mean, pretty happy with the T20 finish. There's some really good players out there, man. And there are some really good players who missed the cut too, even just like on the number. It was very kind of hit me. Even just in the city of Houston, there are a lot of good golfers on the amateur ranks. So, yeah, that's kind of I think the SGA did a pretty good job setting up the course. Greens were great. It was fair. Winner was 7 under. Next closest was -1. So, like, he kind of ran away with it. I don't know who won, but congrats to that guy. And it's a fun time. I don't know when I'm going to tee it up next in the tournament, but it could be soon. Shout out to my boy Trevor for coming to caddy. He was the man on Saturday, because on Friday I was gassed because I was carrying the bag too. I was like,
why? Why?
Well, it was car path only that day. So I walked and I didn't have a pull cart.
That would have been great. Iron covers and pull carts. Let's get it.
Well, so when Trevor came out the caddy for me on Saturday, he had a push cart in the trunk, and I was like, dude, bring it, because we just don't know. And then it cleared up on Sunday, so that's why I rode, because it was 90-degree rule. But Houston Am, KJ, you want to do some four-ball stuff soon?
Yeah, I'm down. I got the member called Crawfish this weekend. So this
weekend. Actually, the U.S. four-ball qualifying was today. One of the guys I played with, he played four rounds this weekend in the Houston Am, was teeing up for the
four-ball. Is it at Pine Forest?
It's at Pine Forest, yeah.
Damn, I could have ran away with that.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, KJ probably wouldn't have been invited anyway. Like he wouldn't have liked it anyway. Scaff, we'll play in that next year.
Love it.
Love it?
Yep, let's do it. Pencil man.
Awesome. So Houston Am, success. I think that's it pretty much for like really tournament golf in general, unless you're on the PGA Tour or whatever. But our friend Preston, he let us know Preston is going to be Monday. He's going to try the Monday qualify for the Houston Open. So shout out to Preston. Good luck.
I caddied for him in that last year.
Oh, yeah. Didn't he miss it by one?
I think he missed it by like three. And he shot like 3 under in like 15 to 20 mile an hour swirling winds. There was no like wind direction, and the greens were fast and probably like, no joke, 12 and a half. I was like, how does anybody shoot par in this? And people were like, we're shooting 65s. It's like, oh, okay.
Yeah. There are a lot of good players out there, man. Like,
it's kind of a fun thing to do those, because he's like, it doesn't matter the situation. You have to go for everything in these, because, you know, if you go out there and you shoot one or two under and you have a good round, that's like tournament play. This isn't tournament play. This is balls to the wall, gas all the way down. You have to pull off every shot.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, dude. Like, when I was playing this week, knowing I had 72 holes, I was like, middle of the green every time. Like, because the greens aren't that big out there, so I figured I'd have a birdie putt, and a few of them started falling. Like, that's – but, yeah, you got to put the pedal to the metal, full send, go after everything. Ugh, that just sounds miserable. I don't like that. Oh, I don't like that kind of golf.
I think I would have T-Bone's variance if I had to play that way every round.
Appreciate it.
So, speaking of T-Bone, let's kick it over to T-Bone for some golf gossip. It might be a light week on a PGA Tour basis, but we played a lot. Scaff comes to us pre-show recording, says he's got some good golf gossip. T-Bone, let's do it.
Yeah, so there's two segments I want to touch on. I think we've gotten away from the golf gossip and golf fashion a little bit, so I want to get back into that. So starting off with golf gossip, our boy...
I feel like it's been a light year.
Yeah, it has been.
You know, last year we were just gifted with Matt Kuchar.
Matt Kuchar every week delivering. We had Dean Player coming in, Michelle Wee. It was endless, but we got some pretty good stuff for an off week. So our boy Tony Finau, Ripper Magoo, is currently being sued for $16 million by a former business associate. So throughout Tony's junior golf career, he sounds a little sketchy, but they had this business associate, this guy that owned, it's called Icon Sports. And he was a big part in funding a lot of their tournaments, lessons, things like that. And he estimates the expenses totaled about $500,000-$600,000. And with interest, it's roughly $16 million today. So Tony's attorney made a report, and it's basically like, yeah, whatever. We're confident, you know, in the legal system. This isn't a big deal, but that's a pretty big number, 16 mil. And I don't really know how you get to that point from $500,000 or $600,000 expenses, but yeah, something to think about.
KJ, what do you think about that?
That does seem like a pretty big number. I don't see it. See it getting that high, but maybe it's just one of these and damages and all that crap, you know, emotional damages. How do you put a price on that?
Yeah, it's been that one's got a little cushion to it, but
you know what that reminds me of?
Huh.
Sorry to cut you off. You want to say anything?
No.
You know what that reminds me of is I think it's like on the Fab Five 30 for 30. Jalen Rhodes was talking about there is like this gentleman in the Detroit area who was like a grandfather, like a father figure to a bunch of these inner city kids who were playing basketball in the AAU circuit. And there are a lot of those people out there who were like, hey, look, let me go buy you a pair of shoes. Let me go buy you do this. And if you make
walking it around money.
League, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Some walking around money. And if you make it to the league, remember me type things. And so essentially, like, these guys are betting on kids to make it big, and then when they do, then they're going to be hooked up as either, like, their agent or negotiator or whatever it may be. This kind of sounds like one of those similar situations where this guy was maybe a quote-unquote benefactor a little bit for Tony Finau, but Tony Finau didn't view it that way at the time.
Yeah.
Is that a fair comparison?
I think so, and when you're younger, I don't think you really know. An even more relatable situation is – I don't know the exact percentage, but it was Kenny Perry's last chance to go pro. And some kind of associate he made a deal with. He was like, I'll give you $13,000 and I get 20% of your earnings for the rest of your career. And he's held to that today. So 20% of Kenny Perry's earnings have gone to this guy.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Nailing it.
I'll have to look into that, but Yeah, it's something along those lines.
Let's get a follow-up on that next week, because that sounds like he got really screwed out of a deal there, because that he was one of the best players in the world at one point.
Oh, shit, that guy retired for sure.
Oh, yeah. Man. Yeah. So, makes you think. I'll do some follow-up. Maybe I can add that to next week's golf gossip. But
please do.
If we've got no more comments, I've got a pretty cool segment. My dad's been wanting me to throw this in for a while. But I wanted to tell a story about how we have had sponsorships in golf, specifically on golf clothing. So if you see my hat here for all the YouTube watchers, it's got this logo. I've got this sick red rope hat. It's got this logo on it called Amana. So Amana is a manufacturer of like washing machines, dryers, refrigerators, a bunch of appliances and machinery and things like that. And back in the late 60s, there was a guy named Lou King. And Lou was like a VP of marketing at Amana. And every year they had like the like grade A pro-am. Like everyone wanted to play in the Amana pro-am. So with it, they gave out a bunch of hats that probably looked like this. And it was just a really great tournament every year. Pros would come and play in it. And a few years later, it's still kind of up in the air for how it got started. But a few years later, there's a PGA championship in San Antonio in the late 60s. A guy named Julios Boros was in the lead. And it was hot as hell in the summer, San Antonio. And he just grabbed that Amana hat from a previous pro-am and was wearing it during the tournament. So this guy, Lou King, saw it and was like, holy shit, this has got to be the best opportunity ever. So from that point on, he started with this guy, Julios Boros, but started adding golfers, and they would get paid $50 a tournament to wear these Amana hats. And it actually started a lot of controversy because back then, you know, you were supposed to take your hat off. A lot of guys didn't even wear hats, but you're supposed to take your hat off when, you know, post-round, going into buildings and things like that. And Lou King was like, fuck that. This is my Amana hat. I'm paying these guys $50 to wear my Amana hat. So it caused a lot of controversy with, you know, the post round, you know, take your hat off or not. But ultimately, it led to like one of the biggest aspects of golf, which is sponsoring golfers. So pretty cool story there. My dad actually found this Amana patch and then got this hat and sewed it on there. So kind of like a old vintage hat here, but it made me think of just like what are some of the like the worst and best and most memorable sponsorships throughout golf. I mean, I think just like throughout, Phil Mickelson with KPMG is just like the most universal golf logo. I think going back, thinking about Payne Stewart rocking the knickers with the NFL teams was awesome. John Daly with Hooters. I mean,
yeah. Boo Weekly in Cleveland and all the camo.
Oh, yeah.
That was groundbreaking.
Yeah.
Anybody could have done the Boo Wipes, and it would have been a story, but it being Duffner made it more of a story.
Great call. Was it Ben Curtis was rocking like the Redskins logo?
Hey.
Oh, the Washington football team.
Yeah, we don't do that anymore. But yes, Ben Curtis, I mean, Payne Stewart was the OG for rocking the NFL teams, but I think Ben Curtis did as well. But,
I mean, would you include Tiger and Nike in that?
Tiger
and Rory with Nike.
It's like the obvious no-brainer that you don't think about.
A cool logo is Retief Goosen, sponsored by Grey Goose. He's always got like the Grey Goose logo.
That's tight.
I've always liked that one. Some of the worst are like, you'll see Lee Westwood. He was like a top three golfer in the world, and he was sponsored by like Dunlop. And I was like, dude, come on. You're not rocking anything Dunlop. I think he had UPS also.
No, that's Oosthuizen. He always has
UPS. Yeah, Oosthuizen's got UPS. Yeah. And now you got company like, of all people, Bubba Watson's sponsored by like CBD companies.
What? Really?
Yeah.
Where did you put Fowler and Puma in this one?
Pretty high.
Bad.
Yeah. He's pretty far up there.
The fact that we're talking about it means it's been pretty successful, regardless of his golf career.
Which has been non-existent. What? I mean, Ricky is a major championship winner by one of the players, so
yeah.
I don't
I do think a pretty iconic sponsorship that Ricky has that a lot of good golfers have had is just that Mercedes logo. Just like on the shoulder. That's a pretty nice logo to have.
How about Tiger and Monster? Class.
Huh?
How about Tiger and Monster? He has that Monster logo on his back.
That's a disgrace. that's worse than Tiger's Buick sponsorship back in the day.
Do you think Tiger actually has ever drank a Monster in his life?
No. No.
Absolutely not.
Like, no way.
Absolutely not.
Golly. How about, I just thought of this one, Anna Palmer with Anna Palmers.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Oh. I guess it's different having something named after you. That's not necessarily like a sponsorship, but
yeah.
Yeah. That's all I got.
What else are we missing? Nice. There's got to be more out there that are iconic.
Well, if you think of anything that we missed, let us know.
There you go. Follow
us on social media at 3UnderParPod, the number 3UnderParPod, Twitter and Instagram. The DMs are open. And if you're still watching on YouTube, thank you for watching on YouTube. Comment below on what you think is the most synonymous brand golfer. Right? Is that the right phrasing?
You want.
Yeah. What brand?
Worst sponsorships, best sponsorships. What'd we miss?
What did we miss? Tiger, Nike, Phil, KPMG, all the other
John Daly, Hooters.
Oh, definitely.
It's got to be one of my favorite ones.
Yeah.
For sure. So, fellas, I think that's all we got for this episode, unless there's anything else that y'all would like to add.
I think we nailed it.
It's going to be a big weekend in golf.
Wait, this weekend?
Oh, yeah. They're giving out free beer. All round, all three rounds.
Oh,
yeah. Big weekend for you.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. How about the
same? Friday night's open bar in a Calcutta.
Hey.
You should have fun at that. I think you'll enjoy that, Kyle.
Well, 2 years ago I did it, and I was there till like 3 o'clock, and I showed up and laid a stinker Saturday morning.
He was there, and he wasn't a member yet. How about that?
That happens, baby. I'm in there.
Kyle was playing the member last year, and he wasn't even a freaking member at Hearthstone.
That's incredible.
My first tournament there was a member guest, and everybody thought I was the member, and they were like, hey, who's your guest? I was like, I'm the guest. Oh,
man. Well, hey, is Justin and Dumpy playing in that one?
No.
All right.
It's me and Mark Schneider.
Schneider?
Yeah.
Nice. Well, way to just air Schneider out there on them. So good luck, Schneider. Good luck to you this weekend, KJ. I'll say I got to play golf on Saturday morning. My wife said I need to be out of the house Saturday morning.
Yeah, we have 36 on Saturday. That's next weekend. Never mind.
Next weekend?
Next weekend we're playing a lot of golf.
Oh.
Tournament and 36 on Saturday.
Yeah, that's true. We got a plan. Yeah, we'll talk offline about some plans because the fall is pretty crazy time, man. College football's back. Getting married again in a couple weeks, I guess. I don't know. It's weird to say.
Same lady, though, guys. Don't worry.
Same lady. Corona wedding. Yeah, my nieces and nephews were actually asking about that. They're like, so do most people get married twice? And I go, well, not to the same person. So. Anyway, well, that's all I got. We appreciate y'all listening for sticking with us. A little bit lighter episode this week, but comment below on what you think. Again, synonymous golfers with golf brands. And comment below on anything else that you think we may have missed this week. Write us a review on Apple Podcasts. Give us a 5-star rating as well. And we love to hear from you, the audience. Maybe next week, since it'll probably be a lighter week again, we'll do some Outside the Ropes. We'll bring that segment back. So send us your questions. If you have any golf scenarios, questions that you would like for us to answer, we will answer them next week on the episode. So that's all I got for this week. Thank you for sticking with us. I'm Scott for KJ and T-Bone. And remember,
Little White Ball is live.